Sophie, come on down. What's up, Sophie? Welcome. So Sophie decided to give her life to Christ this past week, and we want to give that to you. Now, who studied the Bible with you?
I studied with Bola and Aaliyah.
You guys want to give away? All right, you can go ahead and sit down. Welcome. We're glad you're here. And, man, it's a good way to start out. Just we got people that are giving their lives to the Lord. We have another person that's going to be baptized today, I think, after service. So if you guys want to stick around for that, you can. And I have a serious question as we jump into a lesson today on animals. What is so scary about geese? No, I'm being serious. Have you guys at SIUE that complain about the goose all the time trying to bite you, have you ever just, like, let it bite you? Do they have teeth? Geese have teeth? I don't believe you. Do they really? They have teeth. With ivory? I think you guys are a bunch of weenie millennials. Let me tell you something. No, seriously. You guys are scared of geese at baptisms. I went through a campus ministry in Florida. Do you want to know what we had to worry about whenever we baptized kids in the river in Florida? We had to worry about alligators. I stood, and you got to watch the gators on the other shore while they're watching you baptize somebody. Look, if you're going to go out, you may as well go out at your baptism. You know what I'm saying? But those things will kill you. Geese won't kill you. They'll just annoy you. I don't know what the big deal is. I'm tempted to go up to SIUE this week and just let the thing bite me just to show you guys there's nothing to be afraid of. You want to come? Will you let it bite you too? Okay. All right. I'm just saying I ain't scared. All right. You guys can hold me to it. Hey, we're going to jump into a lesson. You guys can pull your notes out there in your bulletin if you'd like to. It's going to have most of the scriptures we're going to look at. We're in a sermon series here called If Animals Could Talk. And one of the neat things about God is inherently a great teacher. And he has woven lessons into the very fabric of creation. It says in the book of Romans that even if you don't have the scriptures, even if you don't have anybody coming and telling you that there's a God in heaven that made everything, you could just kind of look around at nature and figure it out. When Jesus taught, a lot of his parables and a lot of his teaching came out of creation and out of nature. Jesus teaches us, and the rest of Scripture teaches us, the prophets teach us, if we look at what God has created, we can see echoes of his divinity and lessons that he's woven into the fabric of the very things he's created. Today we're going to talk about one of those creations, the creation of sheep. We're going to talk about what we can learn and what we can draw out from sheep, not comprehensively, but just a few things we can apply today. And sheep are one of the most mentioned animals in the Bible. If you read the Bible, sheep are mentioned very often. Many of the spiritual giants that we read about in the scriptures were shepherds. Moses, David, and several others. There's something about shepherds, there's something about sheep, there's something about the dynamic that exists between them where we can learn a lot about our relationship with God, our relationship with one another, and some of maybe our own weaknesses, because sheep are weak. Six enlightening facts about all sheep, okay? First of all, sheep are dependent. This is on your notes if you want to fill these out. Sheep are dependent. What we mean by that is sheep can do almost nothing by themselves. They can't groom themselves. They can't clean up after themselves. They can't find food on their own. They can't take care of injuries. They are completely dependent when it comes to life. They need someone, a shepherd, to take care of them. They're dependent. Secondly, sheep are directionless. Sheep are directionless. Does anybody in here struggle with a sense of direction? Okay. Some people do, some people don't. Some people seem to have this inherent sense of direction. Sheep do not have that. They cannot distinguish between north, south, east, and west. If you take a sheep and send it out to pasture, it's just going to get lost. All of them, 100% of them, are just going to get lost if they go out in the field. They are not going to find their way home. They're not going to be able to find where to go to get the stuff they need to take care of themselves. They're directionless. Thirdly, sheep are defenseless. Sheep are defenseless. You know, a lot of times we'll watch a movie, and there'll be like a scene where somebody's breaking into somebody's house, and they encounter the big guard dog, right? And then there's like they're running away, getting away from this big guard dog. You never see them encountering a guard sheep. Right? You just don't see that. You don't have like junkyards with a flock of sheep guarding the junkyard, right? It's always guard dogs. Sheep don't attack. They don't defend. They're just kind of fodder. They're food. If a predator comes along, man, the sheep, they're not going to do anything to really defend themselves. They're just going to get taken out. They don't have any way to do that. They're not made to do that. Fourthly, sheep are dumb. Sheep are dumb. I've got a video clip to prove it to you. You know, as the Bible says, as a dog returns to its own vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. Well, as a sheep gets out of the ditch, so a sheep returns to the ditch, right? It jumps right back in. It's dumb. It is not smart. Sheep, fifthly, can become disgusting. Sheep can become disgusting. All we mean by that is if a sheep goes out and gets something matted in its fur, I'll leave it to you to figure out what that might be. It's not going to remove it itself. If it rolls in something nasty, it's not going to remove it itself. If the hair gets overgrown, it's not going to take care of itself. A few years ago, in 2004, there was an incident in New Zealand. They still have a high sheep population in the land of Lord of the Rings. And there was a sheep named Shrek that got away from its owner. And Shrek was a rascal. It was a male sheep, and they could not catch the guy. He just kept getting away. He was hiding in caves, like somehow surviving. He was gone for 6 years. You guys want to see a picture of what Shrek looked like when they found him? Look at that. There's Shrek. Okay, you can just see his snout. Like there were incidents, I guess, where people were driving in the countryside and they saw this thing out in the field. They just thought it was like a rock. Like, because they couldn't tell what it was because it was so weird looking. And it had, like, crap matted all over it. It was nasty. So here's another photo next. That's after they cleaned him up. So you can kind of see the wool fluffy out there. And then finally, here's what happened after a 20-minute shearing. There is a happy Shrek with 60 pounds of wool removed from him. 6 years of wool. Man, he eventually was going to be in bad trouble if he hadn't been found. But they finally were able to catch him. He became a local legend, I mean, in New Zealand. They took him to, like, Parliament. Like, they don't have anything to celebrate down there besides Lord of the Rings. So they celebrate Shrek the Sheep. And so, like, you know, it was kind of a big deal. But my point is, sheep cannot take care of themselves. They will get disgusting, and they will not be able to clean themselves up unless a shepherd comes along and helps them. And that's the truth of what we see there. And that's the truth of what we see in our own lives. Number six, this is very important. Sheep need a shepherd who is dependable. Sheep need a shepherd who is dependable. Sheep need a good shepherd, or they're not going to be okay. And there's this contrast in the Bible between good shepherds and bad shepherds. We're not going to get into that in detail this morning, but you do need to understand you can have a bad shepherd. You don't have to have a good shepherd. What we need is a good shepherd. Sheep can have a bad shepherd that doesn't take care of them. And there's two comparisons that are found throughout Scripture when it comes to shepherds and sheep. First, humans are like sheep. That's you and me. Say this with me. I'm a sheep. Say it like you mean it. I'm a sheep. I'm a sheep. Now look back over that list we just made. You say, dang it, I don't want to be a sheep. Well, too bad. You are and I am. We need a shepherd. Second, God the Father and His Son Jesus are good shepherds. God the Father and Jesus are good shepherds. It says in John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is Jesus talking about himself. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So what Jesus says is there's a contrast between the good shepherd that he says he is, and then these bad shepherds which were, in his day, these other religious leaders who were more interested in keeping their position than they were actually serving the flock that God had put them in charge of. And Jesus says the good shepherd is going to lay down his life for the sheep. How many of you in here have ever felt like Shrek? Shrek the sheep, not Shrek the ogre, right? I have felt like Shrek. I have been lost. I have been out to pasture by myself. For many years, I grew up in a home where my family tried to teach me to follow God, but I had had some bad stuff happen to me when I was a kid. I was abused sexually. And by the time I was a teenager, I got into drug use. I still consider myself an addict. I know that's always going to be a weakness of mine. But for many years, I wandered out to pasture where I was just completely lost. Now, I wouldn't have told you I was lost. I didn't want to admit that I was lost. I wouldn't have told you that I felt like I needed somebody to take care of me. But anybody who looked at my life would have been able to look at me objectively, just like we looked at Shrek and said, hey, something's wrong with Shrek. When you see that little snout sticking out and that's all you see, something's not right with that picture. Something's wrong with that sheep. Well, you could have looked at my life and said, something's wrong with that guy's life. He needs some help. But it's amazing sometimes when we're in the middle of it, we don't see it, right? And it took life getting really, really bad before I finally was able to see it. Like, I need some help. And I mentioned that group in Florida before where we baptized people with alligators in the river. I was actually blessed because I encountered a group of people that loved Jesus who loved me enough to look at my situation and say, hey, that guy needs some help. Let's go over there and love on him and show him something different. And so through time and through relationship, I was able to get to know some people that I was able to build trust with where I saw that, hey, these folks are authentic, they're real, and they're talking about this God that's up there that supposedly loves me and can help me. And I wasn't completely unfamiliar. I'd grown up in church, like I said. I just didn't listen. But I got to tell you, when I was in my early 20s and 23, and I finally started to connect with not only is God actually there, this is a reality, he's present, he's all-powerful, he also loves me, man, that's when things really started to kind of fall into place in terms of my relating to this shepherd that was up there and getting some help. The greatest evidence we have that God cares, not that he's there, okay, there's better evidence that he's there, that he's present, that he's reality. But the evidence that he cares and that he loves us is the cross of Jesus Christ when we properly understand it. When Jesus comes to this crowd and says, I am the good shepherd, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, he's referring to what he knows he's going to accomplish in his life. It says in the scriptures, in God's word, in God's truth, that whenever we sin, our sin separates us from a holy God. It's like God is so holy, he's so other, he cannot coexist with impurity and sin. He is too pure, he is too holy to have fellowship with that. And so when you and I break his law, when we sin, when we live in sin, or even if we just sin one time, if you tell a little white lie, like one sin, that's all, you have corrupted this nature that we have, this godly nature. We're corrupted when we introduce sin. We are separated from him. We're cut off. And the only way to get back into fellowship with him is to have that sin forgiven, to have that sin taken care of, to have that sin penalty paid for, because the penalty for sin is death. And what Jesus does when he comes into the world, lives a perfect life, dies on a cross for our sins, is what he says is, I'm going to take all of your sin onto myself, and I'm going to give you all of my righteousness. I'm going to take all of your death and separation onto myself. I'm going to give you my life and my intimacy with the Father. I'm going to give you all the good things that I have coming to me because I did live a perfect life and I never sinned. I'm going to give you all of the blessings of that, and I'm going to take the death on yourself, and then I'm going to take it out back, and I'm going to show it who's boss. and you're not going to have to worry about this bully anymore. What you are going to have to do is you're going to have to be part of my flock, and you're going to have to let me be your shepherd, but it's a good deal. And that's pretty much what he does. And so the choice we have to make every week as we come together, as we're reminded, not just that God is there, but when we take communion, we're reminded that God is present and he loves us. Not only that, he's patient with us. If you've ever been like Shrek, off in the wilderness, covered in your own excrement, God is like a good shepherd who will put up with the stink. And he'll bring you back, and he'll wash you and make you clean, and he'll shear you, and he'll get you back on that path to health. Guys, there are people that are here that are struggling this morning. I know that. If you've blown it, if you have blown it, if you've been doing stuff in your life that you know you're not supposed to do, that you know you're living wrong, guess what? God has got a hope for you. If you will come back, he'll take care of you. You can get as lost as you can be. Guys, there is never enough sinning you can do where if you will turn back to God, he'll forgive you. He'll forgive you. But you got to turn back to him. He's a good shepherd. He's patient, he's kind, and he's loving, and he loves you more than I can express up here. And so if there's ever someone you should trust, not just that he's there, but that he cares about you, it's him, okay? I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to take communion, and I want you guys, as we take communion together, to think about Jesus as your good shepherd. And if you've been lost, if you've wandered away, if you're struggling, man, communion is a time for you to be reminded to take an assessment of yourself. What is going on in my life that maybe needs to get out of here? And you need to understand, we serve a God of grace, man. You can turn back to him, okay? But if you need to get help or if you need to talk with somebody, I just want you to think about that this morning, and we'll talk more about how you can respond at the end. But I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll take communion together as we sing a song, okay? God, thank you for this assembly. Thank you for all the good things that are happening. Thank you for the people that are giving their lives to you. I pray that as we take communion this morning together, we'll be reminded of how good you are and how loving you are and how we can turn back to you even when we screw up really bad. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I need that reminder every week. Man, that's the fact that God loves us is what keeps me going. It's what makes things hopeful. It's what gives us a future. It's good that we have a God that's a good shepherd. And one of the challenges of ministry is not just teaching people that God is present, but that he is good and that he is to be trusted. Because unless we embrace the fact that God is our shepherd and we start living with God as our shepherd, we're not going to have the life that God wants us to have. We're not going to have life as it could be, like the best life we could have. And there's several reasons why we need a good shepherd. I need a good shepherd because, number one, the good shepherd provides provision. It says in Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. And then in verse 6, I know your goodness and love will be with me all my life. This is David writing. And David has everything he needs in his life at this point because he's embraced God as his good shepherd. That's why. He knows God's going to take care of it. How good is it to know that you're going to be okay, no matter what? And this is a promise from God. If we put God first, if we follow him first, he's going to take care of us. This is repeated through Scripture. And that may not be what we want all the time. It's going to be what we need, right? He provides. He gives us provision. Secondly, the good shepherd provides direction. I mentioned before that sheep get lost on their own. You and I, if we just go out on our own, we're going to get lost at some point in life. And sheep are the same way. Sheep don't know the way. Sheep are not going to find it if they're just left on their own. We need a shepherd. Well, in Psalm 23, verse 1, he leads me beside peaceful streams. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. The picture here is God as the good shepherd leads us. He guides us. He's involved in our life. He gives us direction whenever we would be lost on our own. He gives that to us. Thirdly, the Good Shepherd provides protection and correction. The Good Shepherd provides protection and correction. I mentioned before that sheep are defenseless. If left on their own and they're attacked, there's nothing they can really do on their own. Well, whenever the Bible says the shepherd has a rod and a staff, a shepherd's staff in ancient times, the staff was a long stick with a curved head on it. And they would use that curve to grab, like if sheep was about to run off a cliff or something, they could reach out with that hook, and they could hook that thing on the neck and pull it back. If a predator came, they had the staff, right? They also had the rod. If a predator came, the rod was just a club. It's like a little bat. And if a wolf came, man, those shepherds could whack those things. They could also throw those rods, and they were very accurate. It was like almost ninja-like kind of stuff they could do. If you go read some of the stories, like they did some crazy stuff. It talks about David fighting off a bear and a lion, right? He was using a rod to do that. They would use slingshots. They would use other things, but they would defend the sheep. There are even instances that are kind of crazy. Okay. Let me set this up. Have you guys ever seen that photo, or not photo, the painting of Jesus with a little lamb on his shoulders? Have you ever seen that before? Okay. You may not know something about this. Do you want to know why that lamb was on his shoulders? Because the legs were broken on it. Because in ancient times, if there was a little lamb that would run off and would consistently run off, and the shepherd couldn't get it to stop running off, he would take the lamb and break its legs. And he would hold the lamb over his shoulders and carry it, and for 6 weeks or so, it would have to heal before it could walk again. And so the shepherd would walk around everywhere with this lamb on his shoulders. And what happened is because of that intimacy, because of that closeness with that little broken-legged lamb over those 6 weeks period, the lamb would learn to trust the shepherd. The lamb would learn the shepherd's voice. The lamb would learn to listen and respond to when the shepherd said, hey, you know, he would call him and come in. Well, the lamb before when it was just run off, well, after 6 weeks of being with the shepherd and being close to him, it would listen, okay? There was a girl a few years ago, I was speaking at a conference in Los Angeles, and it was a retreat for some friends of mine, and I got to talking with this girl that was in a wheelchair. She was a college student. She was at Chico State in California, and I got to talking with her about her life, and both of her legs were broken. Both of them were broken, and I was like, what happened to you? She said, well, I was in a car accident, and I swerved off the road, and I ran into a wall, and broke both of my legs. I was like, man, that stinks. How long are you going to be in a wheelchair? And she was telling me about it, and she was like, you know, but it's actually good, because I feel like God broke my legs, because I had started to wander off from God. Like, I went to college, and I was doing the college thing. I was drinking. I was sleeping around. You know, I knew better, but I was wandering off. And then I broke my legs, and all my Christian friends came around, and I started talking with them about my life, and I kind of got back on track with God as a result of having my legs broken. And I was like, well, you ever seen that painting of Jesus with the lamb over his shoulders? And I told her that story of how shepherds would break the legs of lambs, and this girl just melted in her wheelchair. And I'm sitting there in the cafeteria, like, waiting to get food, and this girl's just, like, weeping bitterly, and I'm like, yeah, it's my fault, I'm sorry. But I feel like that was, like, a word from the Lord for her, because that's what God does sometimes. Whenever little lambs wander off and won't listen to his voice, sometimes the shepherd introduces brokenness into little lamb's life, because in our brokenness, where do we turn back to? In our brokenness, we often will run close to the shepherd, and it's during those times of brokenness and that extended intimacy with the shepherd that we learn the shepherd's voice and we learn to trust him. And our lives are never the same. We've had a lot of brokenness this past week. Many of you are aware, Some of you aren't. Our campus ministry over in the city, my good friend T.C. Brown is the campus minister at the Crossings Church Inner Belt. Maria, his wife, they had a student living with them this past week who passed away. 22 years old. Daniel Long, many of us in here know him, had a seizure and died in his sleep. Right? Maria finds him. 22-year-old kid, died in his sleep. What do you do with that? Right? Had another person I was talking with this morning just found out their mom has cancer. Bad. What do you do with that? Right? Guys, it's not a matter of if we're going to face dark times. Guys, we are going to face darkness in this life. We're going to face tragedy in this life. There's going to be periods of time where we feel broken. There's going to be times where we screw up so bad, we do things we didn't realize we'd ever do. We screw up bad. We're like, how did we get here? And when the realization of that sin sets in, man, we're broken. What did we do? Where did we get off track? What are the little decisions that we started to make that led us to this place that we never wanted to be? But it's during those times that we will have that intimacy often with the shepherd, because that's what brokenness does. That's the rod and the staff, is what that is. The rod of correction, the staff of direction. Embrace it. Take the good out of it. Draw near to the good shepherd. When you draw near to him, guys, whatever it takes, if we draw near to him, it's going to turn out okay. And we need to remember that when we're facing tragedy, when we're facing grief. Just draw near to him. He's going to make it okay. He's going to make it okay. Fourthly, the Good Shepherd provides refreshment and re-energization. The Good Shepherd provides refreshment and re-energization. You say, I'm feeling beat up. I'm feeling down. This last week has got me feeling down. Well, draw near to him. He's gonna make it okay. You know, I mentioned before, Shrek couldn't take care of himself. The sheep could not take care of himself. He had to get close to somebody that could take care of him. He had to get close to a shepherd. Well, after Shrek is found, and Shrek is sheared, and Shrek is cleaned up, well, Shrek is okay now, but it took an outside force coming in for that refreshment and that re-energization. For you and I, the outside force is Jesus Christ. It's God the Father. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the people of God. It's all the good things that God has. God is the source of good. He is the source of life. He is the source of light. He is the source of anything we ever will need. He is the source and the ruler of it. If we're going to have those things, we have to draw near to him. Understanding the refreshment and re-energization is going to come from him. It says in Psalm 23, I think there's a typo, I think this is supposed to be verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Okay. How many of you have ever read in the Bible where they anoint people with oil and you're like, that's weird. You want to make this guy king. Here, let me pour some oil on your head. Okay, you're king now. That's weird. Okay, that was a shepherding thing. Oil was used on sheep. And the reason it was used on sheep is, how many of you guys have ever gotten like a cut and a gnat crawls in your cut? I know that's a lovely picture this morning. Have you ever had that happen though? Everybody has, right? That's gross. You're like, get away from here. You say no. We need to cut you and let you go hang out with some bugs. It will happen. Welcome to church. It'll happen. And it's annoying when it does, right? Imagine you're an animal and you don't have opposable thumbs or even fingers and you get a cut. And it's not just one fly, it's like 50 flies. And they're all, would that not drive you nuts? Okay, that would drive you absolutely nuts. Sheep will go insane unless they have something to kind of take care of that. What the oil does is it helps heal wounds, but it also is like a pesticide in that it keeps bugs away. The bugs didn't like it. And so for a shepherd to go and anoint a sheep with oil, they'd pour it on its head, then they'd rub it into its fur, usually around the eyes and the ears and the nose, because that's where the insects are attracted. And so they would anoint their head with oil, And it was a way of taking care of that sheep. So whenever an Israelite king came and said, I want to be king, or God's making me king, or whatever, they would anoint that guy with oil, and it was symbolic of God's now protection over this sheep and this man. It was a symbol of protection. It was a sign of protection. But it had very practical purposes for the sheep. It was medicinal, and it was also to take care of pests. That sheep is not going to put that oil on its own head, right? It's not going to rub in to the ears in just the right spots to get all the bugs away, right? Not going to happen. It needs an outside force. It needs a good shepherd to do that. In the verses leading up to what I'm about to read in 1 Corinthians, Paul is actually in this passage of Corinthians. He's writing to this church in Corinth that was full of people that were like you and I. There were people that had lived very immorally, but then maybe had gotten their life on track with Jesus later. And so in the verses leading up to 11, he's actually referring back to ways they used to live. He's talking about sexual immorality. He's talking about lying, you know, slandering one another, stealing, all that stuff. He says in verse 11, some of you used to live in these ways. Then he says, but you're different now. You've been washed clean, set apart, restored, and set on the right path in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, now I want you to notice there, he says, you have been washed clean. Who did the washing? It wasn't them. You know, there's this misconception out there sometimes that we can get that I'm basically a good guy or I'm basically a good gal. I don't really do anything that wrong. I'm moral. I'm pretty good. You know, I'm okay. Okay, that's not Bible. That's our own thinking. What the Bible says, just like I alluded to in communion, is if we sin one time, we are covered in sin. We are lost. We are cut off from God. We cannot wash ourselves and make ourselves free from sin. And what Paul is alluding to in what I just read in Corinthians is that you guys used to live in sin, but you were washed. You were made clean in the name of the Lord Jesus. You guys were made okay, but it wasn't you that made yourselves okay. It was Jesus that made you okay. And the same truth is true for you and I. We cannot make ourselves okay by ourselves. We need help from Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, we can't find anywhere else to find that kind of help outside of Jesus Christ. If you want to be right with God, if you want to have your sins forgiven, if you want to be the person that God created you to be, if you want to have the life that God always dreamed of you having, it happens by leaning into Jesus Christ, your good shepherd. You cannot have that life apart from Him. It is only through Him. And so what we're faced with is a choice. See, there's a good shepherd that's out there, and he wants me to be part of his flock. He wants me to lean into him. He wants me to reap all these blessings. Well, I have to choose whether I'm going to be in that flock or not. I get to choose. And that's the difference between us and sheep. You know, a sheep is a sheep. It's just an animal. It doesn't have an innate sense of right and wrong. It doesn't have a sense of morality. It's not created in the image of God. You and I are created in the image of God. What that means is there are certain godlike characteristics that you and I have that the sheep does not have. You and I do have the ability to think rationally and abstractly, to weigh the differences between right and wrong and morality. We have a sense of creativity. We have a sense of humor. We have the ability to verbally communicate with one another, complex ideas in a language that is beyond any animal, okay? You and I have some extra responsibility as a result of those extra things that God gives us by being created in His image. You and I have the responsibility to make a choice. The Good Shepherd says, I'm here, but you are not automatons that are just going to do what you're programmed to do. You get to make a choice. You're not a robot. You get to make a choice. And so I want to close today by speaking about the blessings that we can have if we turn to this Good Shepherd, if we make that choice, okay? I can experience the benefits of the Good Shepherd when, number one, I make the Good Shepherd my shepherd. I make the good shepherd my shepherd. Okay, here's your application for this morning. If you're here today investigating a relationship with God, what do I need to do? Okay, first you need to make the good shepherd your shepherd. That's choice number one. Do you want the good shepherd to be your shepherd? And David wrote in Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. You just need to ask, is the good shepherd my king? Is he in charge? Secondly, I need to make the good shepherd my Lord. I need to make the good shepherd my Lord. Now, when I say Lord, that means master. Master, okay? What does that mean? Well, it means he gets to make your decisions for you. Say, wait a second now. That's kind of stepping on my toes. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. Here's the thing. For many years, I was reluctant to follow God because I knew it meant I was going to have to give up something. I was going to have to give up certain things that I thought if I didn't have those in my life, I was going to be missing out on something. You know, and I struggled with a lot of different vices, a lot of different addictions. And I was honestly afraid of giving up those things. I was afraid of giving up control in my life. And the reason is I was finding comfort in those things that I was turning to, in drugs and pornography and, you know, relationships and things like that. I was finding a sense of comfort in those things. And I thought for a long time that I was going to be giving up blessing if I gave those things up. Okay? And it was just wrong-headed thinking. What I have since learned is that God can bless me way better than I can bless myself. And God's plans in terms of how to live and how to have relationships and how to be a husband or wife and how to raise kids, he knows that stuff way better than anything I could ever come up with. And if I will just take what he says and apply it to my life, like if I'll just take what I learn in the Bible and do it, my life's actually a lot better than if I'm trying to do it, some of it, and then like do this other stuff too that I don't want to give up because I find comfort in it. His way is actually a lot better, but man, I gotta tell you, that was hard for me to believe. And it was hard for me to practice. And anybody in here who's struggled with that knows that. And I know it's probably just about everybody in here, right? It's hard to give up that control. But if I make the choice to let him be my shepherd and be my Lord, that is the way to have the absolute best life. It's the way. What does it look like if the good shepherd is my Lord? Like, what's a litmus test where I can say, okay, am I doing this or not? Look at this. If the shepherd is my Lord, I will listen to his voice. If the shepherd is my Lord, I will listen to his voice. That doesn't just mean that I hear his words. It means I actually follow what he says. It says in John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them. Okay, so we listen, we hear him. Whenever we hear God through his word, we hear God through his spirit, we hear God through his people. Whenever we hear his voice, we hear that in a way that's not just like we have the TV turned on in the background. You know what I mean? Like we listen intently because he has the words of life. There was a period of time in the apostles' life whenever Jesus was walking the earth where he said some really hard stuff and people started to leave. And Jesus turned to his disciples, the 12, and was like, are you guys going to go too? Everybody else is going. Are you guys going to go too? And one of them responded, how could we go? You have the words of life. He got it. I need to get it, right? When I'm listening to Jesus, it's not like a life coach where I put him on the shelf with like, what's that real tall guy's name? You know what I'm talking about, the motivational speaker? Nobody knows. Good, okay. You don't put Jesus on the same level with that guy that nobody can remember the name of, right? You don't do that. He's not a self-help coach. He's not a guru. He's God. And so we need to listen to him like that. And if the shepherd is my Lord, not only will I listen to him, I will follow his lead. I will follow his lead. That means we don't simply hear, we obey. We do what he says. We respond. It says in John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice and they follow me. Obedience is part of real authentic faith. It says in Luke 6:46, this is Jesus talking. He says, why do you keep saying that I'm your Lord when you refuse to do what I say? He's talking to a group of people. It's like, why are you calling me master and you don't listen? Quit it. If you're going to call me master, actually obey. Right? It's important. It's part of faith. Obedience is part of faith. I've got another video that I want to show you. It was hazy out there. You couldn't see very far. Like, you couldn't see the sheep through the haze, through the fog. The sheep couldn't see the shepherd. Sheep, by the way, have notoriously bad eyesight. That's part of why they just run off cliffs, because they can't see. They're handicapped creatures, right? They heard that dude's voice through the haze and ran toward him. And they found him because they recognize his voice. And it needs to be the same with us and our Lord, our shepherd. We need to understand his voice. We need to recognize his voice. We need to have a closeness to him where we know when he's talking to us. We got to have that intimacy. Lastly, if the shepherd is my Lord, I will connect with his flock. I will connect with his flock. I'll be part of his flock. Now, just so you know, the Bible refers to the church as a flock. Here's one passage just for reference in Acts 20:28. Be careful for yourselves and for all the people God has given you. This is Paul talking, I believe, to some leaders in Ephesus. The Holy Spirit gave you the work of caring for this flock, talking about the church in Ephesus. You must be shepherds to the church of God, the people he bought with his own blood. Now, it's interesting because Paul refers to the church as a flock, but then he tells these guys, you be shepherds to them. These were their spiritual leaders. One of the cool things in God's plan is that Jesus is the ultimate good shepherd. God the Father is the good shepherd, right? God the Father, God the Son are one. God is the source of the best shepherding. But then God takes people and develops them so that they can be shepherds too. And that's what church leadership is. You guys realize any congregation of Jesus Christ has shepherds among it. There are people that God has called to shepherd that flock. We have some really great shepherds here. Where's our youth leaders at? Emily Alambe, y'all come up here for a sec. Come on up. Where's our campus ministry leaders at? Okay, we got some in children's ministry. Any Jake's in there too? Where's Katie? Okay, we got campus cell leaders, campus ministry cell leaders. All of them? Okay, there's Aaliyah. Come on, Aaliyah. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Nate, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on down. Okay, where's our adult cell leaders? We got any adult cell leaders in here? Come on down. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on down. Come on down. Okay. Now, these are a few of our leaders here at the Crossings. Guys, these are people that are shepherds. And I got to tell you, if you're a parent here with teens, you guys don't know how much our youth ministers bend over backwards to love on these kids. And I've got teenage kids. I know I can go to any of our youth leaders and I can ask them about any kid that's in their group, and they can tell me that kid's name and that kid's story and what's going on in that kid's life. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up in churches. You could have gone and asked our youth leaders that. They wouldn't have known about a lot of the kids because they didn't have that connection. But these guys go above and beyond to connect with these kids, to spend time with them, to have them over, to spend money on them. Guys, our campus ministry leaders. Our campus ministry leaders. Do you have any idea how little sleep some of these guys get sometimes? Because they're hanging out, being college kids, like late at night. They're going out on campus intentionally meeting people that they don't know and loving on people that they're just kind of getting to know so that they can help them connect to the Good Shepherd. There's a lot of sacrifice that goes into that. For our adult leaders, man, these guys work full-time jobs, just like our other leaders here, but they still find time to go out of their way to invest in people simply because they believe they're following the leading of the Lord in that. You guys can sit down. You guys give them a hand. But guys, whenever you get to a point where you're a shepherd, I want you to understand that's not like you come to church and you're climbing the ladder to get to the top of the corporate church ladder. Oh, look at my status. I get to get up on stage. Look at me. I mean, you can do it like that, but that's not a good shepherd. Somebody told me a long time ago, if you are wanting to be a shepherd in the Lord's church, if you're wanting to be a leader in the Lord's church, it's not about fighting your way to the top to rule. It's about fighting your way to the bottom to serve. And that's what the good shepherd does. Is he comes into the world. Jesus ultimately models for this. He gave up so much in order to come into the world to fight his way to the bottom, to be a servant of all. And whenever he calls us to step up in the church, it may be better to say we're stepping down. Because it's not about stepping up to be made much of or for people. It's about stepping down to serve. And you guys need to understand, here at the Crossings, we've got people that have fought their way to the bottom to serve you because they want you to have a better life. And it's not because they're so good. It's because he is. And we have shepherds, guys, not to point to themselves, to say, come to me. Shepherds, we're like under-shepherds, right? We point to Jesus. And we say, if you want to have the best life, if you want to have the answers that you're looking for, if you want to have the comfort that you need, if you want to have the light and the life and the truth to give to others, if you want your family to be blessed, if you want to be the wife that he created you to be, if you want to be the husband he created you to be, if you want to be the parent he created you to be, if you want to be the friend he created you to be, if you want to find your purpose in life and figure out what you were put here to do, because he has plans for you, right? You need to connect to the Good Shepherd. And that's what our job is. There are many of you in this room this morning. You're just figuring this out. You're just kind of investigating faith. I want to say, if you're visiting the Crossings, if that's where you're at, I just want to say thank you for coming here today, and we're glad you're here. There are many others of you in this room that you've been walking with the Lord for a while, but you've felt the sense that God's calling you to step up or to step down, as I said. Maybe that's the message for you this morning, right? I do want to invite everybody to pull out what we call our communication card. We're going to go ahead and close the lesson this morning, and I want to give you an opportunity to respond. The communication card is that cardstock piece of paper in your bulletin. I would like everybody to pull that out, members and guests alike. Go ahead and start filling that out. And if you're just investigating faith, or if you're interested in joining the Crossings Church, I want to invite you on that card to check that you'd like a personal Bible study. When I say personal Bible study, that sounds formal. It's really not. If you get involved in a Bible study here at the Crossings, it's usually a couple of friends that get together and you guys open up the Bible and look at it, read a passage and say, hey, what do you think about that? And you guys talk about it. And we study the Bible with every single person that comes to our church, whether you come from a Christian background or not. But that is a great way for you to get connected to some people that are going to be helpful to you. It's also a great way for you to get some answers to some questions if you're investigating faith. You guys will be able to have some really meaningful conversations and be able to look at the Bible and figure some stuff out. But then also, if you're joining the church, it'll help us get on the same page so that we can look and say, okay, here's what we think, here's what we believe, and have a dialogue about that where you can discuss some things. So if that's where you're at, I want to invite you to check that. If you've been coming around to the Crossings for a little bit and you're interested in small groups, Our cell group ministry or our small group ministry is honestly the best thing we have going here at the church. I showed you we got a bunch of shepherds up here on stage. The reason we have a bunch of shepherds is because you, every single one of you, you need attention. And one guy or couple can't do everything, and so we intentionally train leaders. Those folks that you saw up here were our pastoral staff. We intentionally train other pastors here in order to make sure every single person gets taken care of, that gets the care that they need. And so the bigger we grow, the more leaders you're going to see, but we're going to make sure, do our best to make sure every single person that comes into the Crossings gets the care that they need. And the way we do that is through our small group ministry. When you join our small group ministry, we meet a couple times a month for the adults. Others meet a little more frequently. We have discipleship groups and several other things, but we're going to make sure you're with people that know your name, that know your story, that know your family, that know what's going on in your life, that are going to be able to help you and take care of you. And so if that's something you're interested in learning more about, check on there that you'd like to have more information about small groups, and we will get you plugged in. There's a lot of other resources we offer. I will not go over all of them, but if you see anything on that card that piques your interest, please indicate it. And we're really glad you guys decided to come be with us today and hope you will be back. Oh, one more thing before I pray. You guys have some cards in your bulletin. You might notice we have our Spooktacular coming up. That's going to be on the 29th. If you don't know what the Spooktacular is, it is a big Halloween party that we throw annually here at the Crossings. We are expecting several hundred people from the community to come out, kids in costumes, coming to get candy from some fun costume characters who have built sets and everything. So it's going to be a lot of fun. If you are looking for a family-friendly Halloween function to bring people to, be here on Friday the 29th. And then the following Sunday, actually not that Sunday, the Sunday after that, on the 7th, November the 7th, we're going to have our annual chili cook-off here, which is always a lot of fun. So we're going to have church, and then we'll set up and have chili right after. Both of those events are really good things for you to invite your friends and family to. So I want to encourage you to take those cards that we handed out and give those to people that would like to come. You can get free tickets for the Spooktacular online. All the information should be on that card. It just helps people skip the line. So you can tell your friends, hey, register here, crossingscollinsville.com/spooktacular, and you don't have to stand in line as long, okay? Whatever your needs are this morning, go ahead and fill that card out. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to sing a song. That's going to give you time to fill out that card. And then we'll sing one more song after that, and we're going to pass some baskets, and you can drop that card in there, and we'll have somebody follow up with you pretty quickly, okay? I'm going to pray, and we will be done for today. God, thank you for bringing us together today. Father, I pray as we think about you being the good shepherd. God, if there's anything that is holding us back from intimacy with you, I pray you will help us to see what that is and to help us be motivated to take the steps we need to take in order to get help. God, help us to realize we can't mess up enough for you to stop loving us. Help us to realize that you love us more today than you ever have, and you love us too much to leave us the way we are whenever we're wandering away from you. Help us to trust you, where we won't be afraid of giving up control, where we won't be afraid of letting go of things that maybe give us a sense of comfort but are bad for us. Help us to repent, Lord. We love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.